This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
If you've not heard yet, there's a power crisis ongoing in the country. And no, I don't mean the West Wing or House of Cards definition of power. I mean in the way that there might be huge power outages that don't let you operate the fan during the sultry October heat. If you're listening to this episode from Delhi, Kerala, Rajasthan, Bihar, or Punjab, you would have already felt the effects of the crisis as the respective state governments have already scheduled load shedding to deal with the situation.
India has 135 coal-fired power plants. 64 of them have less than 4 days of stock. 25 plants have less than 7 days of coal stocks, while 17 have completely run out of their coal reserves. Not even a single power plant has a week's supply.
India's coal stocks are at critical levels and states are sounding alarm bells over possible blackouts. Amidst this backdrop, Home Minister Amit Shah held a meeting with Power Minister R.K. Singh, Coal Minister Prahlad Joshi, along with other senior officials, to discuss the current supply situation as well as the coal shortage.
State-owned Coal India Limited, the fossil fuel behemoth and the largest coal company in the world, handles over 350 mines in the country. Coal India's production has stagnated over the last 3 years. This has not been on par with the power demand of India's economy, which has been hitting new peaks every couple of months. And therein lies the crux of the matter.
India also saw increased power demand during COVID. With the pandemic still on now, the demand is only likely to increase. Indian Power Minister has now warned of a supply squeeze lasting for maybe even up to 6 months.
In this episode, we'll chart through the history of the crisis, which has been over a decade in the making. What the government is doing to mitigate the situation, and why our 100 gigawatt worth of renewable energy capacity, solar, wind, the likes, can't make up for the shortfall. In addition to explaining the situation, we'll also be speaking to some former officials who have been at the helm of our power sector to find out how such a crisis is handled at the central level. We also have ET's own power reporter who has been tracking the situation since day zero. It's October 15 and a happy Dasara to you. From the Economic Times, I'm Shashwat Mohanty and I hope you're listening to the Morning Brief with a steady electricity supply. Despite the huge strides India has made in its installed capacity of renewable energy, we still overwhelmingly rely on coal to power our homes and factories. Coal accounts for 70% of the power generated in the country. So any shortfall brings about immediate panic among the industrialists and consumers alike. India is also the world's second largest producer of coal, after China. Over the past 3 years, coal production has remained around the 600 million ton per annum mark. This was not a problem in 2020, where, for months on end, industrial output remained shut due to COVID-19. However, with the economy reviving, India needs more coal to burn than ever. We got through much of the year without facing any difficulties. But then, how did we get to this crisis point?
It's actually ironic in more than one ways. India has a huge installed capacity of 388 gigawatts. It's double of what we need. Leave aside our renewable energy and hydro capacity, we have a base of 202 gigawatt projects based only on coal. Power demand has certainly been high than what it has been in the months of August, September and October other years. However, we have managed 200 gigawatts of peak demand in July this year. That's because then the coal stocks were just enough and there were no rains to disrupt steady supplies. Also, our imported coal-based projects of around 17 gigawatt were functional then.
That was my colleague and power reporter Sarita Singh. Sarita has been covering the power sector for 15 years now and has been breaking stories regarding the crisis ever since the coal stocks kept dropping.
So we have reached here due to a combination of four factors. High power demand, rains that hit coal supplies, less imported coal-based generation. The last one is supply curtailment by Coal India to several power plants that were defaulting payments. So the situation is still critical. The supplies are steadily increasing and we will tide over the crisis. if there are no more surprise weather conditions or unforeseen incidents like railway accidents or mine accidents.
Sarita said that currently the reserves continue to be at alarming lows and will only get better by the end of October. While the situation has come to a fore now, it has been in the making since at least 2007, says Partha Bhattacharya, former chairman of Coal India Limited.
The situation of gap between demand and supply started from 2007, and today it's about 200 million tons, 200 to 225 million tons. We consume about 950, 975 million tons of coal, and we produce 750. So the balance is met by imports. This has been the major issue. And till we increase our domestic coal production capacity, so that was a time when the demand-supply gap yawned, and that was gradually met by coal imports. And during that period, we did see a lot of situations where either there is a problem in imports or the import prices going up and imports not taking place. Coal shortages did happen from time to time. But yes, the last major coal shortage, as has been seen now, did appear in 2014. And that was again because of the same reason. The faster power capacity addition continued from 2007 till about 2016. All these 9 years, it continued. And there was a sort of major demand-supply gap, and that couldn't be met by the domestic supplies and the coal shortage. So much of the import, particularly of thermal coal, thermal-grade coal, can be substituted by domestic production, increasing domestic production. But for that, you need to have more productive capacity. And that capacity has to be created beyond Coal India. So that process has started with introduction of commercial coal mining in 2020. But that has taken more time than it should have taken. I mean, it could have done earlier, sometime in 2007 onwards, then we might not have seen any coal shortage at any point of time.
Mr. Bhattacharya is a Coal India man through and through. He joined the company in 1977 as a management trainee and rose through the ranks to become the chairman in 2006. He oversaw the massively successful IPO of the coal giant in 2010. After being a CIL employee for 34 years, he retired in 2011, but continues to advise the government as part of various committees on matters relating to coal.
Actually, you see, what has led to the crisis is there are, if you analyze it, there are just three, four typical reasons. The first of that is that the power sector will have to maintain the coal stocks as has been prescribed by the Central Electricity Authority. There is a CEA norms for every power plant, and that norm is to have a stock of coal enough to meet 15 days of consumption to 30 days of consumption, depending upon the distance between the power station and the coal sources. The more the distance, the more the number of days of stock it has to maintain. By not maintaining that stock, a power plant is making itself vulnerable to any kind of shocks, because there could be supply dislocations for hundreds of reasons. It's a large country with all kinds of complexities. Coal has to move from one point of the country to another point. And in order to create a shock absorber, this kind of stock building is absolutely critical. This was not done, despite the fact that during the last quarter of the previous financial year, there was enough supply and enough coal production and all supply took place. But there was easy to build up a stock at that time, and it was not done.
A mix of peak demand, the monsoons and poor production seem to have played a part in the current crisis. To make matters worse, there has been a lot of politicking on the issue. Opposition-led states have been clamoring on news panels that the crisis is far worse than the numbers show.
Well, here's a reaction coming in from Delhi Minister Satyen Jain, who said there is a possibility of politics, as it appears to be a man-made power crisis in the national capital, similar to the oxygen crisis. The Delhi Chief Minister has also now written to the Prime Minister, flagging off these pressing concerns and seeking his intervention, saying Delhi could face a power crisis.
What is strange, though, at the moment is that when you speak to the power minister of the country, he says unnecessary panic is being created. Don't worry, situation under control. You speak to state power ministers across the country and they say, we are worried. We may just have two more days left of power from our thermal-based plants.
Having said that, the Prime Minister's office undertook a review meeting this week and assessed the situation. They also allowed power companies to import coal at a 10% share of their total needs.
Right now, the government has sent signals to all the private and public power projects, asking them to import 10% of their requirements. So that is being done to ease off pressure on domestic coal. We checked with the power project companies and they are saying coal imports at such short notice and at such high prices is just not possible. Coal imports right now internationally, coal prices are at around $170-$180 per ton, which is all-time high. So these companies are not really agreeing to import coal even for blending purposes.
Despite the politics, everyone comes together to work to resolve the issue, according to Sanjeev Sahai, who has been in public service since 1983. Mr. Sahai was at the Ministry of Power for 3 years and retired as its secretary in January earlier this year.
No, everyone wants to find a solution because everyone is answerable to the people at large. There is expectation. And I personally think that people, as I said, it's a very collaborative work. And the only focus, as always, the focus is to ensure that electricity reaches everyone and that the quality and the quantum of supply is at its best as possible.
The former power secretary said that all stakeholders come together to find solutions, despite the public bickering with one another.
So you have Coal India, Ministry of Coal, Ministry of Railways, and the Ministry of Power. They all work together. There is joint meetings at the level, generally at the levels of secretaries of Coal India, chairperson, chairman of Coal India, and chairperson, chairman of the subsidiaries of Coal India. Secretary, Ministry of Power, that is at the official level. So state governments, I should have added, state governments are also equally important stakeholders in this whole situation. So there are, you know, levels of officers below these secretaries who form into small subgroups and look at very detailed manner in which coal has to be reached to which plant, where the demand is high, and which is in the best shape to generate maximum electricity, etc. So they have a very set drill. And I think the drill is operational even now. And some letters have hyped. I think the government is more than equal to have been able to handle this situation. And I think they are managing it just fine, absolutely fine. The drill that has been laid is operational and people are working at it. I don't think there is any reason whatsoever for people to panic or feel concerned.
Mr. Sahai's beliefs also stem from the fact that overloading on coal would lead to a huge increase in coal prices. Predicting the future demand is not possible, but maybe the crisis isn't a crisis after all.
The question before us really is, why are there reserves? The reserves are there only to meet these variations in demand and supply of coal. And you know what, the feeling that 4 days supply is critically low, I think that is somewhat misplaced. What I have read from the newspapers and I have come to know, the period that the Coal India, you know, when there was a stock of coal available and the demand at that point of time was low, Coal India used its time to remove the overburden so that they could quickly mine, which they have done. And the production is now completely adequate to meet the demand. So I really think that this feeling, because which has come on account of letters from some states, etc. You see, power is something which is very unpredictable. We couldn't predict when I was there that it would hit 190, 192 gigawatts and very soon 200 gigawatts. Nobody could predict it. So you always keep reserves. And reserves are meant to handle situations like this. Otherwise, modern-day management says that you should have just-in-time inventory. Why should you carry 3 weeks of coal stock and raise the price up?
There has been one stark realization as a result of the crisis. India still relies heavily on polluting coal to run the country. We have over 100 gigawatts of installed renewable capacity. But those resources aren't helping to avert the crisis just yet. Much to Greta Thunberg's chagrin.
It's not renewables operating at a lesser capacity. They are operating as usual. But since the demand is so high and we are coal-dependent country, because of the high power demand scenario, the generation from renewables is just not enough to cater to our demands. The renewable generation in September has been around 11%. Also, renewable energy is very intermittent. And that is why countries around the world talk about storage when it comes to renewables. And India is also looking at it. The wind capacity starts dwindling post-monsoons. And as far as solar is concerned, India's peak demand is generally being noticed in the post-noon hours and evening hours.
The Ministry of Power and the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy work closely with one another to decide India's power policy. They even have the same minister. Mr. Sahai worked with both bodies during his tenure at the Power Ministry and said that coal will still be relied upon not only in India but the Western countries, which have substantially phased out their fossil fuel plants over the years.
So let us look at Germany, England, etc., where renewables are very high, right? Germany, so well known as the pioneer in terms of having brought solar into the grid. And even in the UK, renewables have a very significant contribution. What's happened today? They're trying to crank up their old coal-fired thermal power stations. Because renewables, at the end of the day, if it is solar, gives power only for a certain period and it's intermittent. At night, whilst the European countries are blessed with strong sea breeze and they get power from wind, India doesn't even have a very strong wind pattern. Bulk of our wind generation is in the monsoon period. So how do we sustain? Two variations. One is the seasonal variation and one is the daily variation, when the sun sets or it's cloudy. So you have to have coal as whatever technology we have today, as it obtains today. It is for India, which does not have natural gas, we have to depend on coal. There's no getting away from it. After the sun sets, you need your electricity. Peak hour often happens in the evenings when there is no solar and the wind picks up much later at night. So you need solar. So it's not really that the renewables have failed or not. Even if you have a lot of renewables, and we have 100 gigawatts, that's no mean achievement. We have 100 gigawatts of installed capacity of renewables. Even if you, hypothetically speaking, had 200 gigawatts, you would still rely on coal.
Moreover, the past couple of years posed a very unique challenge to the coal industry, as Mr. Bhattacharya explains.
This particular year, there were two more reasons. One is the COVID second wave, which happened in the first quarter of the year, and that actually hit Coal India very badly. There were a lot of infections, more than 200 people died actually. So that had been a supply distortion. In the second quarter, when things got slightly better from the COVID point of view, there were rains. And this time we had extended monsoon that continued till the first week of October, in fact, this month. We produced most coal from the open cast mines. A lot of water was there in those mines. That led to kind of problems in producing and transporting coal. But even then, we must give the credit to Coal India that looking at the situation, looking at the scarcity, even in these conditions, and seeing that the coal production and offtake remained flat for all the 3 years, it's a great thing that they have been able to achieve a growth of 5.8% in the first 6 months of this year in production, and a more than 20% growth in offtake.
The monsoon winds are expected to leave the country by next week, which would make mining easier. Depleted stocks will be replenished, and with the winter, much of India will use less electricity as compared to the previous months. However, we're expected to hit the next peak demand by March 2022, which poses another challenge for the Indian power sector.
So, Power Minister R.K. Singh told ET in a recent interview that India is expected to witness peak of 200 gigawatts in the coming summers. The coal plants need to start building now. As we know that 70% of our requirement is met by coal, for next April-October, the projects need to start building their stocks now, because Coal India's production, maximum production, is in the second half of any fiscal. And the power demand is also comparatively less during these months. For if we start building the stocks right now, between October to March, they will serve us from next April to next October after the monsoons. Those are the measures that the ministry needs to look at. The ministry is in the process of changing the coal stocking norms, which are expected to be more effective in preventing such crises in future.
But Mr. Sahaya says that while exercising caution is good, the next couple of months should help in stockpiling coal reserves to prevent such a crisis from happening again.
The peak mining season has just begun. So the coal will be available. This is the time when the mines work at full speed. So I don't think March is going to be a problem because of any shortage of coal. I don't think that's going to happen at all. We're hitting the peak mining season now. But there's two points that I wanted to add, and it may be worth analyzing. Is that the state governments, did they keep their 3 weeks quota of coal or not? Did they stock up the 3 weeks quota of coal or not? The second point is, you know, we say 4 days across, the country. But those power plants, and there are these power plants which are super thermal, etc. At the pit head doesn't require a storage, really minimal storage, because, you know, it's at the pit head, the mining is going on. The storage only is done to obviate any dislocation because of rains or some other problem. So these storage, stocking of coal is low there. You mine, you set it on the conveyor, it goes to the thermal power plant and it's converted into electricity. So yeah, we have to take a more nuanced view of the situation.
While the prospects of load shedding continue to loom over our heads, it would seem that the power crisis brought on by the shortage in coal stocks might come to an end soon enough. The matter is made worse by constant attacks and back and forths between political parties. But as we heard, at the end of the day, everyone just wants to find a working electrical socket to charge their phones. India has lofty renewable energy targets, and this crisis showed us exactly why the pivot to sustainable energy is needed. Our coal stocks won't last forever, and they are falling short even now. But India is still a developing economy, and it needs reliable power supply to fuel its growth. And it also shows that coal is still king in this country. I would like to thank Sarita, Mr. Bhattacharya, and Mr. Sahaya for coming on the show and sharing their decades of experience. That's all from us on this episode. This is Shashwat Mohanty signing off from The Morning Brief. This episode was edited and coordinated by Anjali Venugopalan and produced by Swati Joshi. Soundarya Jayachandran was the sound editor. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. And if you like this episode, please share it on your social media handles. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice extended weekend. All edited sound clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.